Director of the Planning and Development Committee meeting for 10:30 a.m. This is our final meeting before the election, and I just want to say it's been an honor to serve as the chair of your planning committee. We'll see how what happens tomorrow. So good luck to everyone out there who's running. The next item is approval of the minutes from the October 4th regular and the October 19th special.
Move for approval of both of them.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Item number three is public comment. If there's anyone here for public comment, you have two minutes. Please state your name and address for the record. Is there anyone for public comment? Yeah. Oh, come on up.
Come up here?
Yeah, come up to the podium. Mm-hmm. And I'll set the timer.
Good morning. Can you all hear me? Hey, I'm Savannah Brennan. I'm the Director of Programming for Charleston Moves. We're located downtown 57 Cannon Street on the peninsula. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments this morning. I just wanted to speak in relationship to the Boulevard Overlay District that you all are discussing this morning. There are several elements that we would appreciate being incorporated back into the town's commercial review guidelines if you do choose to repeal the overlay today. Its purpose was partly to foster an active pedestrian-oriented and bike-friendly commercial development with high-quality pedestrian streetscapes. Specific areas were meant to facilitate multimodal access, compromising pedestrian, bicycle, and mass transit types modes of transportation, including buses and shuttle service. We strongly encourage the following requirements to remain in design review guidelines where conceptually appropriate. Those including 8-foot sidewalks in key locations, reduced curb cuts, discouraged drive-through facilities, shared parking, recessed entryways to provide more pedestrian space, incorporation of Mount Pleasant Way as identified in the trail plan, and retain activity zone elements to enhance the pedestrian experience, such as trees, planters, and benches. That was all. Thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Thank you. And would you be willing to send an email of that list to members of council?
Absolutely. And I'm happy to leave these notes with the clerk if that's
okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I was going to ask the same thing, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else here for public comment? All right. Moving on. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Hello. My name is David C. That was my business partner, John Defoe. We own 515 Colma Boulevard. I'm a Moultrie graduate, and I would like to let you know I'm also an avid outdoor cycler, parent of four. I know how communities move. I've been studying it for a very long time. And I just wanted to bring to your attention that this Coleman Overlay District has really been put in place so that people can move about the community safely. Safety is very important to me. I have spent a long time raising children, raising boy camps. John and I have been running a boys camp for the last 7 years. We like to keep people safe. I've spent a lot of time in the gym, across the parking lot there, over a decade, teaching young men and young women how to play sports. The last thing I want to see is a child experience what I did when I was 18, when I got run over by a car on Colma Boulevard, when I was completely in my right-of-way because the lanes weren't marked at that time. Now we have spent a lot of time in this overlay district. We've spent a lot of time for people that have actually invested real money into development plans, that have listened to the ordinance, even all the way down to Chapter 3, which is community involvement. I was at the community organization back in 2007 for the Coleman Revitalization Board. I've seen a lot of faces come and go, but I've been fighting for this overlay district for a very long time. I want to let you know that we recently went to our DRB meeting, and I'm a small business owner with 5 business licenses in the town of Mount Pleasant. My wife is also a minority female-owned business. John and his wife as well. The thing I'd say is that I'd like to also just recommend that anything we do in the society that we start to really bring decorum back into the public proceeding. When I showed up to the DRB meeting, we did not have proper decorum, and now I have to weigh my options. So the overlay district is here for a reason. I would ask for you to keep it in there for the community. We've dedicated a corner of our property to make sure that when children cross the street, they'll be out of harm's way. The parking guard parks on our property every single day. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone else here for public comment? All right, moving on to the next item on the agenda. Item number 4, review of the Planning Commission recommendations, 4A.
Okay. Good morning, Madam Chairwoman and committee members. So this is a text amendment that went for public hearing to Planning Commission last month, and it's coming to you with a recommendation for approval with a few minor amendments. But essentially what it is to address definitions that were either absent in our zoning code or needed clarification. And so what it does is create a definitions for a bedroom or a guest room, an extended stay hotel, and then a hotel and a boutique hotel. So just a brief recap, as you know now, our boutique hotel is defined as having 50 rooms or less. This proposed definition would lower that to 25 rooms and less. Other than that, it would essentially stay the same as far as the language and the requirements, you know, that it typically provides services and amenities that may include restaurants, meeting rooms, etc. And then it does, one thing it does do, which is important, is right now we have, we talk about guest unit, and you'll see that in the parking schedule. Unit has, since a 2014 amendment, unit has been thought of as one keyed room. So you get a fob, you go, regardless of the number of bedrooms. What this does is say, if you have a guest room, it's any room in a hotel or boutique hotel containing one or more beds, that does not include the sofa pullout. And then a guest suite is two or more guest rooms. And how that becomes important is in the next parking schedule. So we currently require one parking space per guest unit, again, regardless of the number of beds. What this would do is say if you have a guest room, you're required to provide one parking space, and if it's a suite, you require two parking spaces. And then there's the additional notes, which talks about if it's more than four guest rooms in a suite, one additional space, and then it also requires parking for employees. This is a typo, actually. It's intended to say the maximum building size in any neighborhood commercial is 6,000 square feet. What it says is minimum. We always knew the intent of that, but we figured while we were dealing with the neighborhood commercial in this, we would clarify that. So it is a maximum. And then also part of these provisions are that if you are in the Boulevard Overlay District, you are still, which typically would expand your uses. So if you were NC, you would also be allowed to do AB uses. What this provision would say is if you're in the Boulevard Overlay District, you can only do your NC uses, and your maximum building size is still 6,000 square feet. Whereas, as it's written now, if you're NC in the Boulevard Overlay District, you're allowed to do AB uses, and you can expand beyond that 6,000 square feet. This proposed amendment also eliminates a boutique hotel from the neighborhood commercial district. And I know that we have a couple of discussion items coming up. This did go for public hearing to Planning Commission, and they did recommend approval, as I said, but there are some discussion items coming up on the next agenda, items that could change a couple of these tables, so I just want to talk about that for a second before we move on, and I don't know how you all want to handle that, if you want me to keep going, Mr. Chapman, or...
Well, first of all, Madam Chairman, if I may, I would like to make a motion that we accept the recommendations of the Planning Commission as evidenced by the staff summary showing Planning Commission staff report, hotels and parking regulations.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and we have a second. We're in discussion.
I just think we asked the Planning Commission to look at these things. They spent time. They also had a public comment time, and it's some of the things that we've been talking about for several weeks at least, and that's why I'm making a motion to accept what they did and move forward and have these items specifically delineated, even if we remove the Boulevard Overlay District, but these items would stay in.
All right. Is there any further discussion or thoughts?
Like we've all done a lot of work and read a lot and had a lot of discussion. Staff has done a really good job of, I think, following the vision. So I'm ready.
Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to item 5, discussion and possible action regarding repealing of the Boulevard Overlay District as discussed in the different meetings.
Okay, just a brief recap here. The 2018 ordinance amendment eliminated single-family residential uses if you're in the overlay and your underlying is commercial. More recently, we lowered allowable densities from 16 and 20 to 12. And then the comprehensive plan does recommend removing the Boulevard overlay in favor of focusing on those redevelopment centers, which designate those areas as having a density of 1 unit per acre. So, as you know, we've been working with consultants. We prioritized a few things, one being the Shem Creek, which went through and got approved, and next was the Boulevard Overlay District. And we've talked a lot about taking those, what we anticipate being is just the Boulevard Overlay District going away and taking those aspects and those design standards that we like that were mentioned during public comment and incorporating those back into our commercial design review guidelines. And so we took this to the Planning Commission after our special meeting and talked about the what that looks like. And essentially what it is we would propose that the Boulevard Overlay District be repealed in its entirety, and then the underlying district would control. And what is there is existing, and our non-conforming ordinance would apply in the cases where you had a non-conforming use. And then as we continue to work on our overall zoning code rewrite, we would incorporate those things like the activity zone, the street trees, those aspects that are valuable and that we want in those areas, in those redevelopment centers, we would incorporate those back into our overall code rewrite. And so, what that looks like is, again, you wouldn't have those expanded and restricted uses. The Boulevard overlay would go away. Most properties, as you saw, are orange, so they are zoned area-wide business. And again, we would look at those, the activity zone, the mixed use, the reduced parking, all of those things as we move forward with our code rewrite. And the Planning Commission did recommend, well, it wasn't a public hearing, but they did support moving forward with that repealing of the overlay, and they also expressed a desire to keep the following standards and incorporate those back in. And so I'm happy to discuss that with you further or answer questions.
Any of you have questions?
Yes, ma'am. In our material that we were sent, there are a number of items under Boulevard Overlay District, permitted uses, overlay, frontage requirements, and all that kind of stuff. Would it be helpful if we went down that list to see which ones we want to keep, or are these the ones that we already voted on? Because I don't think so. And that's a question for me. If it would be helpful for us to go down this list and vote on all of them for section 156.318.
However the committee wishes to handle it is fine.
Because if we vote to remove the overlay district, these all would come out. Is that not correct?
Yeah, and some of these things are addressed, like the 20 to 30 foot build to line is already in our commercial design review guidelines. But whatever you directed us to keep, we would then just incorporate that in as we continue on with the code rewrite. But yeah, that would be helpful if you know specifically what you want to eliminate. For instance, there is the activity zone, the 8-foot sidewalks, there's street trees, there's 20% reduction in parking if you're in the Boulevard Overlay District. So some of those things you may or may not want to keep. So
just as an example, maximum building size shall remain 6,000 square feet in the neighborhood commercial district. Is there any reason why we shouldn't leave that in? These are just items that are listed, and if we fail to recognize that, I think we're putting Planning Department in a little bit of a quandary as we're going forward with a eliminated overlay district For example, duplex dwellings, permitted uses for commercially zoned properties are. And I think we need to go down this list to see what we should keep as available.
Mr. Chapman, I think my question kind of dovetails nicely with yours, because if we repeal the Boulevard Overlay District, say we do that at the next, you know, two readings, what is replacing that, and is that happening over time? Because I feel like we're taking a big piece of the puzzle away, and we're not replacing it with anything that keeps the good components, except we're doing that at later dates. Mm-hmm. So I guess, is there a way, you kind of, I feel like it's Jenga, you know, like, is there, can we pull the one piece out while we're sliding the other piece in on the other side and do it kind of simultaneously, almost like a repeal and replace?
Right.
Because I feel like just a plain repeal without a replace, mm-hmm. keeping the components that we want to keep, doesn't make sense to me.
Right. I think we can absolutely do that. If we know, if we talk about exactly what we want to keep, and just to point to your example, Mr. Chapman, that maximum 6,000, that is not in the Boulevard Overlay District. That just applies to any neighborhood commercial. But the Boulevard Overlay District, what staff anticipated was all of those expanded uses would go away. And the only thing that would remain would be design guidelines, like the activity zone. But if you want to expand permitted uses, we may need to explore a different way to do that. But I do think, Ms. Whitley, as you said, we can move those through. So if we take it to the Planning Commission at the December meeting, and we know exactly what we want to incorporate back in, if it's we want to keep the activity zone as it's written or whatever, we can incorporate that bit back in and do that at the same time.
But if, I guess what you were saying is what's left is purely design guidelines,
yes.
Like the wider sidewalks, street trees, those are all things that can be simultaneously included in our design standards?
Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
So we could repeal the overlay district and simultaneously incorporate the design standards, and then there would not be this toppling tower?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, because you think about the timeline of repealing the overlay, it's a text amendment. So it's gonna have to go for public hearing and then two readings. So I think we could do those things concurrently.
Oh, Ms. Hyatt?
Oh. I feel the commission had a good suggestion for leaving these important elements in.
Mm-hmm.
That would be easy enough to do mm-hmm. now. And then anything that needs more study could be done at a second reading if there's something that we've accidentally taken out that we don't want to happen immediately. Is that, I mean, that...
That's certainly an option, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could make some amendments at that time. Because I feel like we need a lot more discussion when it comes to all the little details.
Yes. Yeah.
But these are important things that I think most agree should stay. Whatever's easier to do.
Mr. Chapman, would you like to go through line by line this
well,
list?
My only comment is design guidelines, for example.
Mm-hmm.
How would we keep those in if we eliminate the overlay district without enumerating each one individually? Is that possible?
Yeah, I think when we come through for the amendment to repeal, we would also do a text amendment for the Commercial Design Review Overlay District, and we could take those guidelines or standards that you all want to keep, and we would put them in a different section, essentially, because a lot of the things, and we've talked about it internally, is that a lot of these things are good for any, first of all, they apply to a lot of commercial districts, not just the overlay, but those ones that are specific perhaps to Coleman, we could put that in the text, or if they're specific to Johnny Dodds, we could write that into the text, but they would just be in a different section. They would be in the design review guidelines.
Okay, well, what about these tables?
The tables in 4A that we just talked about?
Right, like short-term rental, boutique, hotel, or inn for the different
So I think that's separate.
Those are separate.
I think we just voted to include those, yeah.
So the...
I'll stop.
Well, just, and it is confusing, and I apologize. So if you decide to repeal the Boulevard Overlay District, what would go away is the page on 4A that has the Boulevard Overlay District, where it basically says in the overlay, your NC, if your NC is underlying, then you would not be able to expand. Well, that's not going to matter because the overlay is going to go away. So it would affect that page. And then it could perhaps, in our next discussion, affect our principal use table. But repealing the Boulevard Overlay is not going to affect the definitions or any of that, because those are in different sections of our ordinance, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm looking at F on this small letter F. Outdoor and street-side dining uses, including the sale and consumption of alcoholic beverages, shall be permitted use in all underlying commercial use districts. So if it's a commercial use district, whether it's Boulevard Overlay or not, it'll still be there, right?
Yes, I believe so, if I understood you correctly.
Can you go back once?
Where are you reading that from?
I'm reading it from page...
This right here.
Indicating 156.318.
318, okay.
I think that would...
So no, there would no longer be, if the direction is to repeal the Boulevard Overlay District, 318 will go away. There will be no 318. And then what you want to keep, we could write into the design review overlay standards. Now, so you're talking about letter F?
Yes.
Outdoor and street dining uses. It may be this, that's already written in another section. Those are the things that we would have to look at as we move forward with our code rewrite. There are so many nuances and small things that we can't capture right now. I think we can capture the larger important things like the activity zone and the street trees. There's probably 30 pages of things like this that was our concern with trying to get it repeal the BOD in a timely manner and incorporate all of those. I think it's going to take more time with the overall code rewrite to capture everything that needs to be captured, but I think those big things that you mentioned we can do concurrently with repealing it. But it's a huge section of our ordinance.
Well, that's what I was concerned about.
Yeah, I agree
that,
with you, Mr.
That
Chairman.
By this repealing, we might be creating more problems than we're solving. I still think we need to repeal the overlay district. I just don't want to do it and not get in the weeds, so to speak, because those are things that are, I think, important. So if you think we can do it without creating serious problem for the staff in particular, I'm all for it.
Well, for example, Ms. Hyatt, go ahead.
I had asked at our special meeting the timeline, estimated timeline on rewriting all that stuff. Like, how long would we be missing those things? It would be a matter of months, not years. I mean, this is something that...
But it wouldn't be 3 months or 2 months that it would take to repeal the overlay. It would probably be more like 6 to 9 months.
So I guess my question is, so this, like, for example, Mr. Chapman's referencing outdoor and street-side dining uses. So, like, the Kickin' Chicken has outdoor dining and people are having drinks out on the sidewalk. So if this went away and was not reincorporated into the zoning, they would then not be allowed to do that? Or that would be considered a non-conforming use that we would allow, like, which would it be?
They could continue on. It'd be a non-conforming use.
Okay. So repealing the Boulevard Overlay District, everything that already exists would be able to continue as is based on our non-conforming.
Correct.
So what it would simply do, it would create a 6 to 9 month zone of uncertainty for business owners as they waited to see what was going to come through the pipeline for. So what about business owners that want to move forward during that 6 to 9 month period? What do like, how would staff accommodate them during that time frame if there are no, if the guidelines aren't clear?
Well, I mean, we couldn't accommodate them. I mean, they would have to meet the ordinance of the underlying zoning. So if they're AB, we would have to apply those standards.
Okay.
We couldn't apply anything else until something new is adopted. But if it's an existing use, they would be okay. But something new, we would have to review under our adopted guidelines.
To me, that makes sense.
Okay.
That, right? I mean, I think it's, we're sending a clear message of what the vision is, and now people can get ready for that. So, and I feel good about the timeline, and thank you, Michelle, for explaining all the nuances that we could be creating by doing this. I think overall it solves our challenge. And I feel better knowing that, you know, everything would be covered under, yeah, I may change my mind. Yeah, no, I may change my mind before council meeting. Yeah, but for now, I agree with this.
So the underlying zoning would just take over for that 6 to 9 month period, because the boulevard overlay allows these expanded uses. So mm-hmm. if for the 6 to 9 month period, they would be limited to their underlying zoning, mm-hmm. and then council can make determinations as to what expanded uses would be permitted in that time frame. That we the good things that we would want to keep. Okay, I see it. All right, do we have a motion?
I can make a motion. And we are motioning to approve commission.
Or to recommend to council.
The commission's, that was commission's summary, right?
Oh, no, this is the repeal. This is the...
Oh, sorry,
number 5 would be a motion.
Yeah.
So it would be a motion to recommend to council to repeal the Boulevard Overlay District.
Yes, so we are... It's a motion to recommend to council that we approve to repeal the overlay.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. We are in discussion. Any final comments from council members before we vote?
Are we including the three items that we saw... activity zones, wider sidewalks.
Yes.
So those would be included based on the fact they were recommended.
Those would be simultaneously incorporated into the design guidelines.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And is there some way we can make a statement about the existing design guidelines?
To just add that to the motion?
Well, yeah, and I'm not sure what I want to say, except that to encourage staff to expedite selecting appropriate design guidelines, something like that, out of what's there today.
Well, I think in my view, the way it would work is it would be simultaneous. It would be a simultaneous repeal of the Boulevard Overlay District and an update to the design guidelines that incorporates the trees and the sidewalks.
Well, but there are others.
Oh, no, I agree. And I think that's become the question is there's... So requesting that staff focus on an expedited timeline so that it's closer to 6 months, not 9 months.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
So right now I have the motion as it's the repealing of the Boulevard Overlay District and only the repeal.
Do you want to amend to include the design?
We need to implement the recommendations of the Planning Commission to start with. And I'll make that as an amendment to the motion.
Thank you. I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion to amend the motion. We have a second. Let's go ahead and vote on the amendment. All those in favor? Aye. Okay. So now we have an amended motion before us that repeal the Boulevard Overlay District and the adoption of the Planning Commission recommendations as far as the design guidelines. I will make the statement as well, along with Mr. Chapman, and I'm sure that all of this committee, that we would request of staff to expedite, you know, as quickly as possible, to remove any uncertainty for business owners and developers to understand what was coming down the pipeline as far as from council, the which elements of the Boulevard, which other elements of the Boulevard Overlay District will be reincorporated, if any, and it could potentially be none.
It could.
So, but it's something that I think that Mr. Chapman's right. There needs to be a time to really dig into this line by line and go through that. And I think that could be a job for next month's committee, planning committee meeting, perhaps.
Maybe, but again, as an another amendment. Exactly what you said as part of our
motion. Does that need to be in the motion, or is that more just like, Mr. DeMora? No, right? This is more like a recommendation to staff or request of staff.
Yeah, we hear the direction. I think the motion is pretty clear about the repeal and the adding in of the few design guidelines that were mentioned by the commission. Okay. After that, we get what you're saying in terms of timeline.
Okay. I'll leave it alone. I just don't want to get lost with
right.
that because
agreed.
I can tell you we're going to get a lot of comments.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the and I will be supporting this motion, but at the same time, like I think, as Ms. Corley said, reserving final decision just as we get more information moving forward. So, all right. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries.
Just right. real quick for clarification, did the committee want this first to go to council next week or mm-hmm. to go back to planning? Okay, for full council. Okay, got it.
All right, moving on to the next item on the agenda, item number 6, discussion and possible action regarding ordinance amendments about accommodation zones and uses.
All right, so this again could perhaps change what we talked about in the first agenda item, but just as a recap, we've got our new 2019 comp plan. It outlines community scale, commercial, town scale. So community scale is smaller scale appropriate when you think about neighborhood commercial, boutique hotels. Town scale would be larger areas where a full hotel would be more appropriate, and then we have our redevelopment centers and our waterfront. The comp plan doesn't specifically speak to accommodation zones or districts, but we've talked about them and we've used that language, and we feel like the comp plan gives enough guidance to identify areas where accommodation uses are appropriate. So based on that, we brought to y'all at the special meeting that hotels be a conditional use based on the comprehensive plan, and we gave you two options. Option A was a complete elimination of boutique hotels. You would just have hotels. And they would be conditional across the board, wherever they're permitted now. And they would be, the condition would be based on, it has to be designated for town scale commercial or the Patriots Point waterfront area to the comprehensive plan. Option B, we kept boutique hotels. And the hotels were again designated the same town scale or Patriots Point. The condition for the boutique hotels were designated per the community scale commercial and the town scale, and then the waterfront land use classifications. Planning Commission discussed it at their meeting, and they were in support of those amendments, but with a few things. They suggested that the boutique hotels should stay in and be allowed as a conditional use in the Highway 41 waterfront gateway area, and then more strategically placed in community scale. If you look at this map, all of the red are community scale, and they felt like that was a lot of areas potentially where perhaps a boutique hotel would not be appropriate. So they came up with sort of option C based on their recommendation. Staff came up with an option C to kind of throw out for your consideration. And that would be that, again, hotels are tied to the town scale area. And then boutique hotels are tied to both the community scale and perhaps located in an area designated as a community scale hub. Mm-hmm. So what that would do is further strategically place those in the areas where you see the little the little circular thing. So in other words, instead of all the red, you would have them in these areas. So this is kind of from Long Point down. You can see the hub areas. This would be North Mount Pleasant, and then you can see up Highway 41. So staff thought with option C, based on the Planning Commission's recommendation, maybe that would be boutique hotels would stay with those two conditions. Perhaps that would be more appropriate. And I am happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. The question, Ms. Hyatt?
Their option C sounds probably to be about what we need, but I would want to be very specific about where we allowed the boutique hotels. To me, I do agree. They said the 41 Gateway on the water seems like a good area for boutique hotels. Mm-hmm. I also think, I'm not sure that this map delegates, but at Chuck Dolly and Coleman, I think at some point maybe that area will be redeveloped, the Sea Island Shopping Center area,
okay,
that further away from where we have so much on Ben Sawyer
okay,
would probably be a better intersection. Then, because the circle now on the bottom of this map, is that at Center Street? Like right in on the way to the beach, whereas
so,
if we back that up,
I think so,
to more of a hub.
Yeah.
I'd rather see that closer to like the Chuck Dolly Coleman intersection.
Okay.
And I think the Bell Hall area might be good for a boutique size because 526 comes in there, and that's not indicated here.
No, it's not.
And so that, yeah, 41, Bell Hall, and Sea Island, and that area, Chuck Dolly and Coleman, I think would be
okay,
more ideal areas, kind of hub areas for boutique size.
And then, like, are you talking about where people are coming in or leaving to?
Yeah, but like smaller major intersections. Because we're already, town size is like at the bridges and 526. But then if we do boutique at still major areas like 41, Bell Hall, and maybe Chuck Dolly and Coleman, that area.
Is that where the community scale hubs are in? Is this image where the community scale hubs are in the comp plan?
Yeah, this is the future land use map. So
those are the so there are five community scale hubs?
No, there's more than that.
Okay.
I tried to break it up. So it's these here. There. You can see.
Oh, so it's not these bigger greens, these blue circles.
No, No. It's the community scale.
We're looking at the big blue.
It's not the big blue circles. It's
no.
It's the.
Well, I just drew the blue.
It's the target, the little target.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
exactly.
The target. But what about the teeny tiny X's? That not that.
No.
Okay. So
no.
It's the bigger.
It's the bigger one. I know the key's kind of, but it's the larger, what you refer to as kind of a target.
Okay.
That's the community scale hub.
Okay.
So it's all of those areas. And then I broke the map up. So then you have a couple up this way, and then you have up Highway 41.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we added in what Ms. Hyatt suggested, that would be four additional areas. Right.
Well, some of that I might like to take away.
Yeah, I think you were referencing some places that already had a hub, because we were looking at the wrong thing.
Okay, so let me go back to the first map.
Because there already is a little hub at Chuck Dolly and Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I wouldn't want it to go this close to the beach.
You see that this is not it.
Right.
This is not it.
It's this.
It's this, which is basically backing up to there. Okay.
Now,
so option C was an amendment by staff of the Planning Commission's recommendation to sort of limit this to the, rather than it be fully in the sort of linear
right.
districts of commercial, it would be limited to the little hub areas.
Right.
Now, I have a question.
Okay.
I did notice this hub, that is that the Isle of Palms connector area there?
Which one?
On the bottom right.
Bottom right. There's like a little target there in a blue circle.
Yes.
What are those blue circles indicating?
Seaside.
No, but I mean each one. What do they mean
on
the map?
Commercial scale? Is that the town scale hubs? The big ones?
Blue circles.
The big blue?
Yeah.
Oh, gateways. Those are the gateways. The big blue is the gateway. And then the community scale is the smaller red circle with like the target or the X in it.
Okay. It looks really good.
But by making it a conditional use, it's not something that they would have by right. It would be something they would have to come to the town, get permission, and so there would be a judgment call made on whether it was appropriate to place that hotel in that location.
So, and just for clarification, what that means is that this table would replace that one in 4A. So this is the principal use table. So in 4A, it was recommended that a boutique hotel is not permitted in neighborhood commercial. Mm-hmm. What this says is it is permitted as a conditional use, but you have to be in a community scale and you have to be in the hub.
And is that the only criteria? Or would there be?
Unless you added more criteria. And a conditional use is a staff level approval. So they would come, it's a permit. They would have to come to staff and they would say, and we would look at it and say, well, you're not, it's an and. So if you're not in a commercial scale, one of those red areas, and you're not within the hub, then you wouldn't be allowed to do it.
Okay. But I think we would want more restrictions in place than that, as far as like parking requirements or, you know, things like that. Is that something that's already there or is that something we would need to add?
Well, you do have in the first part, you have the more restrictive parking requirements. So unless you're talking about something different.
I guess we could also just take it out of neighborhood commercial. We could update, we could have an option D where we take it out of neighborhood commercial. Would that be too restrictive as far as the existing boutique? Well, that's what we did in 4A. In 4A, we took it out of neighborhood commercial, but
we don't want to put it back
this
in.
This would be putting it back in as a conditional use. So I think no. I think no. Yes.
Okay. So what we'd essentially have is we would have this table, but there would not be a C under neighborhood commercial. It would not be a conditional use at all there, even tied to the comp plan. Okay.
Would this require an amendment to the comp plan in order?
The comp plan does recommend. It recommends boutique hotels for community scale, and there are some neighborhood commercial in community scale. So that's why we made it a conditional use but tied it to our comprehensive plan. But if you don't want it permitted at all, we can take that out.
I think we should take that out because that's basically was the point of 4A, was to remove it from neighborhood commercial. Because there are other zonings in, there are AB and other zonings in, mm-hmm. and so there would be no P there either. It's not a permitted
Correct.
Use. It's not a C.
Yeah, it wouldn't be P or C.
There would be. And I think that makes sense. People who live in residential neighborhoods that abut these neighborhood commercial zone places do not want hotels that are right next to their neighborhoods. I think we have to limit hotels to certain parts of town that are basically already developed in this development or could be redeveloped in that way. All right, so do we have a motion on item number 6?
Go ahead.
So far, what we're seeing, I guess, is broader than what I had suggested as far as limiting boutique hotels as well to their own little zones. Because we're saying community, as long as it's not neighborhood commercial right now, the suggestion is that it go anywhere that's community scale.
No. So what I have now is it would not be permitted at all. Mm-hmm. In neighborhood commercial.
Right.
It would be conditional as would a hotel in AB, AB2, ED, and the waterfront gateways, and they would be conditional based on what we talked about, the comp plan. It has to be town scale, community scale, and community scale hub, plus those four areas you mentioned.
I think rather than plus, I'd rather make it only.
Mm-hmm. Only commercial scale hubs?
No, only these, yeah, areas.
Oh, the four that you identified?
Mm-hmm. Not adding them, but making them
so
only.
Remove community scale hubs from
boutique hotels. Yeah.
Boutique hotels and then have
but
the
allow
four,
them
but allow them in four the four zones you identified?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to so you want to further limit boutique hotels. You want to limit boutique hotels more than a regular hotel.
Because a regular hotel can only go in the town scale. Is that correct?
That's correct. So it's in the green.
Yeah.
So boutique would be allowed there too if somebody had
it
a small
would.
Lot.
Right.
So town scale would allow any type of hotel. And so then boutique hotels, I feel like we should limit to...
Because there are so many community scale hubs. If we go back
yeah.
to that page, there's at least a dozen.
Yeah, that's too many.
Okay, so option D, the new option D is hotels stay the same. Boutique hotels are not permitted in NC and they're conditional in the other districts subject to if they are located in Belhaw, Highway 41, Chuck Dolly Coleman, and Sea Island. That's it.
And Isle of Palms connector would probably be fine because we already have hotels there.
Okay.
So I'd like to.
Five zones?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to move to approve option D.
Okay.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. We are in discussion. You know, I want to understand better the comprehensive plan's guidance regarding hotels, and I also want to understand, because I feel like the whole point of the comprehensive plan was with these community, town, you know, redevelopment center, this hub concept and of limiting things to those, you know, those districts.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see where with so many community scale commercial, having boutique hotels in all of those places would be too much. So is there but these five zones you have identified, are those community scale commercial? Are they?
I'd have to look.
I don't want to create new spots, right? I don't want this list of five that you've named to create new spots. If those are five,
yeah.
if we can limit it to these five communities, if they are already community scale and we limit it to those five named community scale commercial zones.
Ms. Whitley, I'm told they all are community scale.
They are. Okay. So these five yeah. spots are all community scale.
Okay.
Okay. So then that makes more sense to me.
Okay.
Because I was worried that you were like, that they were creating new community scale commercial zones. And I was like, I don't think that's what we want to do in the comprehensive
okay.
plan. We want to limit them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So thank you for that. We have a motion and a second. We are in discussion. Does anyone have any other thoughts or comments on item number six? Mr.
Yes,
Chapman?
Yes, ma'am. I want to see the map again because the map helps me mm-hmm. better understand what we're talking about.
The one with the targets on it.
Oh,
the one with the targets on it.
And also understanding that we do have definitions for boutique hotels now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
we do.
That clarifies a lot for developers and for
right.
staff.
So it would be this target,
Can we have a listing by staff of what the motion
mm-hmm.
suggests
so
on
have
this map?
Bell Hall area.
Okay.
Can you circle it for us? Let's see. All right. So we have Bell Hall area.
Okay.
We have Highway 40. That's on a next map. Let me get the ones on this map. The IOP connector is here.
There's no target there.
I was looking at that lower target.
Am I off there?
Yes,
yeah,
you're
it's
off.
Below.
Okay.
The target was what
we
I was
got
aiming
this
for.
One.
This one.
This one down here in the bottom right.
Highway, okay, let me skip over to Chuck Dolly, Coleman. There's that area. Sea Island is here, right?
I thought, no, this is the top target. The top target. The first one you did.
I got it. Oh, okay. So forget that one.
Can you back that up?
Is this the IOP connector? I can't see. Seaside Farms, okay. Good grief. I need to go to the eye doctor. Get LASIK. Let me go up to 41. So this, when you talk about the Republic Tract, where the shipyard is, right. That was one of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's no target there. That's not.
No, there's not.
It's right. That's Waterfront Gateway. That
it
was
is.
Another.
It's another.
It was
one
a Waterfront Gateway.
Yeah.
It's a Waterfront Gateway. So that was included.
Oh, that's already
commission.
It's already
it
included.
Need to be on our list.
The hubs right. are irrelevant if you choose not to tie it to the hubs. I threw that in there because we were asked to more strategically place them. If
I agree with that. I think that's okay. A great idea. I think that's a great idea to tie it to the hubs. But I think we don't want it at all dozen community scale hubs. We want it at 5 community scale hubs.
Yes.
Oh, there it is. Seaside Farms. And IOP connector.
That is.
Did
and then this
that?
Is Town Center. This is
this
Town.
Is town. Yeah. Okay.
Town Center is Town.
Town Hub.
Hub. Or not Hub.
But town
we'll make
scale.
Sure not to do that.
Scale.
Yeah. But
yeah.
town scale. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
So those are the 5, right?
I only counted 4. So it's.
We got IOP.
Sea Island Shopping Center, which is the
which
one
is
above the X.
Coleman and
yes.
Chuck Dolly. Okay.
Seaside
okay.
Farms, which is bottom right. Bell Hall.
Uh huh.
And then Highway 41 at mm-hmm. the Wando.
Yes.
Where are the ones in the
that's on
that's 4.
Yeah,
Highway 41. I was trying to figure out the 5th myself.
I think that's, she's trying to get that.
I there. Had Chuck
is that
Dolly
high
Coleman.
Enough?
You were counting this as 2 separate.
I was.
Was Chuck
okay.
Dolly and Coleman weren't intended to be 2
rural
different things?
Allendos. No, that was the,
that
hub
right
that was
okay.
there. That
so 41.
Okay. So it's 4 areas.
Oh, I thought we came up with 5. Alapan's
no,
connector.
But one's already a town. It's town scale.
Oh, is town scale there? Okay.
At Alapan's connector and 17.
It's already town,
is town scale.
No, I'm talking about the Waterfront Gateway is the one you appoint.
But that's already included under Waterfront Gateway.
Right.
That's got to
yeah.
be. Ms. Hyatt, do you want to list the ones again that you were thinking?
Yeah.
It was
Ms.
the Waterfront sure Gateway at 41.
Okay.
Okay. That's
Chuck
right
Dolly
here.
And Coleman.
Okay.
That's
there.
There.
Bell Hall.
There.
Like 526. We said 41.
We got it.
Got that one, didn't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Highway 41, Bell Hall, Coleman, Chuck Dolly. I thought you said Sea Island.
What is
Seaside
here? Sea Island is Coleman, Chuck
it
Dolly.
It is there. It's Seaside Farms. Did you see
Seaside
Farms?
Farms?
We got
that's
it.
This one.
That's kind of Alapalms connector area, I guess, is what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's
Seaside
where
Farms.
You're getting 5. Okay. So Seaside Farms and IOP are kind of...
the same.
Okay. So it's 4. You
oh,
named
I
5,
we came
but they're incorporated
one.
Into 4.
What was the...
what are we missing from... what came from the comprehensive plan and the planning commission?
Well, none of this came. Well, it did, but what comes from the comprehensive plan is this. And then the planning, and then we talked about those options, and then the planning commission said that was good, but further place them strategically. So that's where we came up with the hubs, but now you're saying don't do community scale, don't do hubs, just do these 4 places which happen to be community scale
hubs.
So instead of doing the hubs, do community scale these specific 4 areas. That's where we're at right now.
I'm still trying to get my arms around comprehensive plan. Planning Commission suggestions
mm-hmm.
and what's now before us. We're missing something.
And Ty, go ahead.
If you look at their option C.
To shrink down the amount of commercial. I think Planning Commission said that just to look at all of community scale commercial was a bit much, and they wanted a way to draw it in a little bit. I think Ms. Hyatt has provided that. And we had initially said community scale hubs.
Was an option.
Was an option, but Ms. Hyatt has swapped that out for her for specific areas, which makes sense based on what you were saying about the roadway intersections and that sort of thing.
Yeah, Mr. Chapman, the
it's
hubs.
It's a subset.
The hubs.
What she has offered is a subset of the hubs.
Right, exactly. The hubs were not specifically recommended by Planning Commission. That was staff's first attempt at trying to.
Well, that helps me.
Is that okay?
That helps me.
Can I?
Yeah, Ms. Hyatt, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Their option C was to have hotels and what it's in here somewhere, right? Or to have them in town scale and to allow boutique in certain areas. And they recommended that 41 Gateway, but they sort of left a generic thing like we should have it there and in specific areas
so
rather than everywhere.
So this is for boutique hotels?
Yeah, only
this
boutique.
Is all for boutique.
Only the small stuff.
That helps.
Rather
so
than
essentially,
let it be everywhere red.
That helps.
Yeah.
To put them in major
to be
intersections.
To be more specific.
So based on today, these conditions would go away, and the conditions for a boutique hotel, there would be none in neighborhood commercial. They wouldn't be permitted. But in the other districts where it's conditional, it would be conditional based on those locations.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it.
That helped me a lot.
Okay. Do we have a motion on the table?
No.
We do. We have a motion on the table.
I made a motion for that.
For that. And we have a second. So is there any further discussion on item number 6?
No. That's where my discussion came from.
Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Item number 7 is discussion and possible action related to amendments to the town parking requirements, specifically the issue of whether to amend the town's code of ordinances to require unpaid access to required parking areas. Mr. Paglarini, are you coming up?
You'd like to introduce? I'll sit right
here. Do you have slides?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have these. So just to refresh, last month, this committee discussed possibilities and changes to our code related to commercial parking. Just for committee's understanding and knowledge moving forward, again, any changes would be a change to our zoning code and would require a public hearing by Planning Commission and two readings of council. Last month, we discussed a few items, and I'll refresh your memories on those. One is that the legal recommendation is that application of any changes would be prospective. Obviously, we create some non-conforming situations. In reviewing this, we believe that any changes would be best served by limiting such restrictions, meaning the restrictions being non-paid parking, to required spaces as opposed to all spaces. I don't believe committee had any issues or concerns with that piece of it. I do know we discussed the prospect of and some concerns about that. The enforcement of this, I think, it is what are required spaces and what are not required spaces. So for example, if any particular business, just pick a number, is required to have 40 spaces and they have 50, there's going to have to be some enforcement determination of how many spaces are maybe charged or not. And again, I don't believe this is a townwide issue or concern. We do understand that this is at least at this point limited to certain areas. So I do think the primary issue to discuss today, among other things, is whether to apply an outright restriction on paid parking or a restriction that would allow businesses to validate parking, such as what you see in some circumstances. The only issue with outright is that we would need to or want to carve out those businesses whose specific purpose is for paid parking lots, parking decks, parking lots. Obviously, we don't want to prevent that from happening. And that is one reason why it would be easier, simpler, more straightforward to codify an option that would allow and permit businesses to validate parking. Of course, that has its own regulatory issues. How do you validate? Who, you know, what are the rules behind that? And again, an enforcement issue. So that is the setup. What we've passed out is essentially what it would look like. It is a fairly simple change to make, of course, notwithstanding if we put further regulation as to what would be validate. But I do think if you look on page 3 of 4, you'll see under C, we would simply add a provision that would either say validate or entirely prohibit paid parking in required spaces, subject to certain exemptions where parking or the commercial business is parking.
Can we circle back to the whole argument about prospective versus retrospective? Because I think there's so many businesses that have already gone to this paid parking model. Is there any way to herd those cats?
Well, that is both the enforcement and the regulatory challenge, is that we have approved these in the town, and going back is at least where legal sees the primary method of challenging an ordinance like this. So let's talk about, we talked about this last month. Shevin Creek is always and has always and will always be a parking issue and concern just due to the number of vehicles. Part of the issue, ma'am, to answer your question in more detail, is we do have some businesses specifically in that area where the parking has sort of evolved, I guess is the best, most pleasant way to put it, over the years, to where there really isn't a shared parking plan. There really isn't something that was approved by the town under semi-recent guidelines or direction, meaning many, many years. It is a confusing area. So that specifically, using an example, would be very, very difficult to unwind, I think.
Is there a way prospectively to bring them into compliance, like say if the business changes hands or if it's torn down and rebuilt, is that something that eventually long term we could bring them into compliance?
Yes, ma'am, and I think that would be the best way to do it. Now, again, every time we discuss an issue or a problem, it raises another issue, and that's we do have a relatively new non-conforming ordinance, which parking, as you're well aware, would be one of those items, depending on the circumstance, that a business may be able to keep their parking under our more permissive non-conforming ordinance.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, thank you. Committee, do you have any questions?
I do. When you said that the town has allowed them to do this, I mean, did they just do it? Or, I mean, when you say allowed, it just means because we haven't come around to doing anything about it, or we've told them they're allowed to do it? I mean,
no, ma'am, I don't think it was we said anything they were allowed.
Right.
I just think that it is organically developed specifically in that area to where many of those arrangements predate any of our codified or recently codified parking requirements.
So we can't go back. Even though this isn't something we've allowed, I mean, they've just been doing it.
No, ma'am, I think we can. I think I was just addressing the situation about unwinding it. We would have to go in, look, see whether they're actually acting in a legal non-conforming manner. That would be the exercise. So, yes, let me be clear. I was just trying to answer the question of unwinding it. I think that is a primary challenge.
Okay. I thought you were saying now that we've let them do it, we can't undo it.
No, ma'am.
Because we didn't really let them do it.
If it is legal non-conforming and it meets our non-conforming requirements, then there would be very little. But if it's not legal and not conforming or not legal, then yes, ma'am, we would.
And my other question is, I mean, if you're charging for something, I mean, does the town require like a parking garage to have a business license and pay, I mean, these people aren't
don't have a business license to charge for parking, right? They're just doing it. And they're, you know, that's income producing activity in the town that they don't have a permit for. I mean, I don't know if that's something.
Sure. No, it's a good question. And one that we thought about, of course, was that if you're in the business of parking, you have to be zoned. It has to be a permitted use for that, or you have to have some exception. And you have to have a business license for that stated intended purpose. So let's take a restaurant. The purpose is operating a restaurant. As long as you meet our zoning code requirements and operate that, I think what you may be asking is, do you need a separate permit to operate parking? And is that part and parcel of your business operation? And I think what we would be doing here is saying, no, it is not. You would require some separate permitting authorization, and you'd need to be zoned for that specific purpose. I think that's precisely what you're asking us to look at.
Right.
Go ahead, if you're not done.
I was just going to say, I've said over and over that if you're charging for parking and letting anyone park there, you're not providing parking for your clients or customers. So somehow we have to work this out.
Okay, Mr. Chapman?
The word validation is undefined.
Right.
And to me, validation means anyone can be validated if they're going to that restaurant. Mechanically, what's happening does not necessarily allow that. And so if we're going to do anything like this, we need to define how you validate for everyone, not just how you validate, but validate for everyone, including those people who may not be able to use whatever mechanism. The easiest way is to allow the person to visually receive some type of validation. So that the word validation is a sticking point to me in this material, because it doesn't necessarily define it. And the current mechanism does not necessarily allow everyone who walks into the restaurant to receive a validation.
Right. And that would be an argument, as I said earlier, if you're going to regulate that and describe rules, regulations, it might be a better argument for simply stating that no paid parking is permitted for your required spaces. Mm-hmm. Now, it does beg the question, if a business, do we want to get into that, right? If a business is operating under a validation system, are they technically violating that ordinance if they are allowing their required spaces? I think the difference is for their customers or not their customers is really the decision that, or at least the discussion we're looking for you all to have.
Right.
Well, Ms. Corley?
I realize what we're trying to do. All I keep thinking about today is just putting more regulations on food and beverage establishments that are just rebounding from a super hard blow. And I'm just having second thoughts and not feeling good about it. I'm just putting myself in that restaurant owner's mind who just opened back up, and yeah, we're not sure what they're, if they're claiming that income as income. I don't know. Are they just, is government not getting their share of that parking? I don't feel good about retroactive. I don't feel good about capturing. And I would be way more supportive of moving forward and clearing up, cleaning up. That's just where I'm at right now. It doesn't feel good. From if I'm a restaurant owner in that area, and those are just my two cents, but it's just me.
Yeah, I think that the whole, I am not opposed to the whole concept of charging for parking and then fully validating your customers, because you know what, if someone, if they come
to, say, Shem Creek, and you're going to go eat at a particular restaurant, then you shouldn't have to pay $20 for the privilege of eating at that restaurant. So fully validating there. But if you're coming to Shem Creek to just hop on a boat and go out to the water, then you pay the $20 and you're using up one of those their parking spots. But you know what? You're paid the $20, and then the restaurant is recouping some of that cost. So, but at the same time, because otherwise we're creating a whole monitoring, like, how is a restaurant supposed to monitor if they have completely unpaid parking spots and someone goes and parks for the day in one of their spots? Like, are they going to hire someone whose job is to, like, mark tires and see how long people are there? Laura's like, yes.
What have they done for the last 100 years? I mean, how long have we had a parking ordinance? Somehow they've managed it up to this date. It's just gotten out of control. I mean, I don't mind them charging as much as I mind that other people are using the required spaces. You can't go park in the restaurant's parking and go kayaking. If you do that, the restaurant is not providing parking, the recommended spaces for their customers. That's where the problem is. And we can't say, oh, they can't monitor it, so then, well, then we might as well get rid of our parking ordinance altogether. I mean, somehow they've kept up with it to this day. They tow somebody, they threaten towing, and they boot them, they tow them. I mean, it's what's always gone on, is if you're parked there and you're not supposed to be, then you get towed away. Now, if they have 4 extra spaces and they want to charge for those, you know, but somehow they need to not let people that aren't going to their restaurant park there. I don't know. How have they done it before today? I mean, somehow it's been managed. Well, I don't know. That's the question to me.
Well, obviously they're charging for parking, right? And then I guess in their mind, if they're not going to pay to eat here, then we're going to charge them parking. I'm not a food and bev person. I mean, I'm a bartender for a lifetime.
But that's not providing spaces for your customers, which is our ordinance. It's providing spaces for anybody that needs a place to park. That's not matching our ordinance.
I hear you. I'm just not comfortable with the, now we're regulating their parking.
And we always have.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we're just really getting in the weeds with this.
Right. Well, do we have any motion on item number 7? Any recommendation to council one way or another?
Ma'am, primarily in moving forward, if I might interrupt just to make it
sure.
Easier for the committee, we are really looking in that direction. I think all of these items we vetted, what the direction really should be, in our opinion, is do we want to allow some mechanism for that validation or not? And if we do, then to your point, Mr. Chapman, we can author that regulation and make it a little bit smoother, but I think that's the primary decision as we move forward.
So maybe instead of a motion to recommend to council, just a recommendation to staff to move forward with drafting in a certain direction?
Yes, ma'am. It has to go to Planning Commission for a public hearing anyway.
Okay. I mean, I would be in favor of leaving the validation in there. That's just to let businesses charge for parking, but they have to validate fully for their customers so that they are free for customers.
And then they can raise their prices and make up for that.
I mean, you could charge $40 a spot to park, you know, and say, hey, but if you come eat at our restaurant, it's free to park. But if you want to go kayaking for the day, then you're going to pay $100 to park or something like that. I don't know. Laura disagrees with me. It's okay.
It's okay. Huh? I just think they're going to end up charging more.
I think so, too.
And we're all going to be paying $50 for chicken wings, which, you know. That's where we're headed.
I mean, am I crazy? Is it true that you're not providing parking for your clients if you're letting kayakers use your space? I mean,
yes, but I know.
We have a parking ordinance that
people go
parking.
To Walmart and they park there and they take the bus, you know, they use it as like a park and ride. So
yeah. But
they have way more spaces than they need, yeah.
Mm.
But I mean, why have a parking ordinance where a business is required to provide parking if you're going to let, that's like shared parking. So in a shared parking zone, that would be okay, but somehow it's just not providing parking.
I just think it's because we're focused on one area, right? And that's my concern, is that we're focused on one area. There's a concern, and now we're getting in the weeds with some stuff that I don't know that I want to open up that can of worms, I guess.
Ms. Corley, it is possible, as we said last month, and I've repeated today, that specific area is very difficult, and we do need to look at that and perhaps unwind what we can, and that can be done contemporaneously with this work.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we ask the town attorneys to make some revisions to what they've presented to us based on the concerns that have been addressed at the meeting today and come back with a upgraded version.
All right, do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Me. No.
Okay, so it passes 3-1 to recommend to the attorneys to draft some potential changes based on the concerns raised, and this will come back to committee next month?
If you'd prefer, that was my question. Committee, or is this going to Planning Commission?
I'd like to see it before it goes to Planning Commission myself.
So committee.
I don't know about the rest of the...
Yeah, that's fine. So committee next
committee
month.
Members.
It'll come back to committee next month. All right.
Up a little bit, but...
If there's nothing more to come before this committee, we stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah.